Hi, Angie. Hi, Jennifer, Donna, Lisa.
Hi, I'm Paul.
All right, so I want to figure out, hi, Taylor. Why do I feel like Zoom has been trolling me? Because I was looking up how to do different breakout rooms. Hi, Jennifer. Hi, Virginia. Hey, Christina. Taylor. I'm just going to play with something for a second that I couldn't do earlier. Do not go to your breakout room. All right. I don't know why it's assigning you. Welcome, everyone. Hi, Makita. Hi, Rose. Hi, Rosa. All right. So, for folks who welcome to the second Get It Done Day, my name is Inval. And I'm super excited that you're here, and I'm super excited to support you with wherever you're at with your curriculum. So just a couple of things, before we start, really you can bring the reason that we've had three Get It Done days. We had our first teaching last week. And then there's three Get It Done days before the next teaching class on Monday. And the reason for that is that we are working on the hardest part of your curriculum, which are the steps that you are going to take people through. Your participants, your program members. Let me just look at my notes. So that's why. We have one more on Friday. You're welcome to stay here for as long as it's useful. And I'm here to brainstorm, to process verbally, to talk through, to help you get unstuck. And we're all going to be in different places with the curriculum, and that is totally normal and expected, because we don't all have the same 24 hours, and we all have different processes and brains and all of that. So, if you have spent time, looking at your ideal persons, the person who is journeying, their endpoint, their starting point, and their endpoint, then get into if that is sorted, then get into the brain dump and then get into the steps. And try do your best. I know it's super hard, at least for me, not to get stuck in the myth of perfection. You aren't going to know everything, and there are going to be details. So it's a little bit of holding, a little bit of mystery, even with where they're ending up, and that you can refine once you get into the steps, into the steps within the steps and the details within the details. So I'm going to leave it at that in terms of introductions. But or framing, let me see if anyone has any questions about the purpose of our time together today or the structure of it. So, no content questions yet. I just want to get you started. Oh, no. Sorry, y'all. I really tried. I tried to figure this out. I tried to, so the feedback from the last get it done is that we were all in the same room, but I want to create a breakout room. And I was looking it up and asking, but it was, I couldn't figure out how to practice it. So basically the time together today is, especially for those of us who are neurodivergent, it's helpful to have a place to show up and get our work done, to ask questions. If you have a question about what your next step is or what you should be working on or could be working on, I'm happy to help you figure out the next step. And the main thing I think I said is just normalizing wherever you are in the process. The fact that you showed up is the most important. And we have 85 more minutes to work together. So let's just take a moment and inviting you, if you're open, to take 2 or 3 deep belly breaths at your own pace. You can close your eyes if that feels comfortable. And just allowing yourself to arrive. You made it here, you showed up. And feeling into what feels most important for you in our time together today. And feeling into the energy that you'd like to bring into this time together. And taking another couple of breaths, you can imagine that you are breathing in that energy, envisioning yourself crafting your curriculum, moving forward, empowered by that energy. And taking pleasure in seeing yourself show up, not just for yourself, but for all the people who you want to serve and who you're meant to serve through this offering that you're creating and putting love and effort and time into. And let's take one more deep breath in together, and inviting you to exhale everything out with a sigh. So breathing in deeply. And whenever you're ready, opening your eyes. And let's get into it. I'd love to see the energy that you'd like to imbue your time with in the chat, if you would like to share. And you're also welcome to raise your hands if you have any questions, anything that I can support you with. I just need to, and let me ask for help. I'm trying to create a breakout room where people can, so you can go there and work quietly, but you can come back if you want. So I already checked the option that you can return to the main session at any time. You can choose your room. There's nothing automatic. So, all right. So maybe I add one room. Does anyone know how that works? Yeah, I undid that.
Yeah, you got the settings right. As long as it doesn't take us automatically and you call the room, I don't know, quiet room, I think you can rename it and then we can choose to select it.
I'm not seeing a breakout room. Where would
She
it
hasn't
show?
opened it. She
Gotta
hasn't opened
open
it
it.
yet.
Okay, so fun. All right. So there's a group, let's play. There's a group called Quiet Space Room. Do you all see that option?
Yes.
Awesome. So you can join that if you want. And when you're in it, you should have the option to come back to this space at any time. Yay, thank you for the support. I will let you know about halfway through, just to check in, take a 5-minute break, and I will also broadcast that. And that's if it's supportive to you. Of course, keep working. This time really is for you.
Sure, we head over now.
Yes, unless
Okay.
you have questions. Yeah, so I'm here to brainstorm questions, everything. Bye, have fun.
Hi, Imbal. I just got on. Did I miss a lot?
Hi, Gaia, you didn't miss anything. You're welcome.
Oh.
So there is an option to go to a breakout room that's quiet, or you can stay here in the main room. And even if you go to the breakout room, you can come back here
Okay.
if you have any questions.
Is there a particular thing we're working on right now? Did you
Oh,
just
yes. Thank you. So you can work on whatever your next step is.
Thank you.
So if you've done the start point and end point, then your next thing would be the brain dump. If you've done the brain dump, your next step would be to put the general steps together.
Okay.
And I'm here.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Imbal, can you say more about the brain dump? I might have missed that from the call.
Yes. So I'm glad you asked. So the we're working on like the main content. So the process toward getting there is that once you get clear on, your target market or ideal client, which I know you know, you look at like where they're starting their journey and when they're ending their journey. And then the brain dump is kind of like a messy, even messier than a mind map around like all the things you want to teach, different ideas that you have for what might be included in the journey. So it's just like getting all the ideas out without worrying about editing or anything like that.
Okay.
So, and then like once you have that and it's unfiltered, and playful and messy, then you can take it and start to organize it into like heading one, like the big headings. And then you refine that two or three times.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. And if that, like, yeah, and if anyone is stuck, that's what I'm here for.
Thank you. I also appreciated that just now. Thanks.
So is that all we're supposed to have at this time is the overarching, the pillars? Like, so for say, for instance, I'm doing like a 12-week course. And then what I did was I took the sticky notes and did like 12 overarching, but I haven't done the center or the steps within each week yet. Is that something that we're going to be doing in the future?
Right. So that's where you, so that's the next place that you'll go.
Okay.
So you have your, do you have like one step per week? Is that how you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Great. So from there, your next step would be to, fill out like under each week, fill out mm-hmm. whatever needs to be. And then the next week. So the steps within the step.
Okay. Okay. Is that something that we're going to be doing in the future, or is that something that we can do now?
No, please, you can do it now.
Okay. Okay. Yep. I wasn't sure because I knew that there were like six steps in that she was going to have six steps in each class. Am I understanding that correctly?
It was confusing the way it was confusing. It's six components to creating a curriculum.
Okay.
For the first 2 weeks of the program, we're only working on step four.
Okay.
Which is the main part, the core of your content. It's all the steps.
Okay. Okay. So then we're just, it's not something that's solidified. We can play around with it between now and the end of the
class. Oh, for sure. For sure. Okay. And you'll see more things. And on Monday, we're going to start learning about exercises. So then you'll refine. But from where you are right now,
just a really rough draft.
Exactly. And then you'll flesh it out and then you'll go and flesh it out more.
Okay, great. Because I have those on I have some ideas on other sticky notes, but I just kind of set those aside for now. So, okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. April, I see you. Let me just see Mary Ann's question in the chat. You're overhauling existing curriculum with new content. Yeah, Marianne, what's getting in the way?
That's a great question. Me? I feel like I'm actually pretty experienced at putting curriculum together. It's something I do with most of my clients, but I think my sticking points are like the core part of my curriculum. There's a lot, it takes most of my clients at least 6 months to go through it. I'm adding in a lot of the deeper mindset pieces. That's part of it. And then part of my rebrand is I changed how I speak about my framework. That's really important because it's a better gateway into it for my clients to get things easier, if you will. So I feel like I'm adding in these two pieces and it just feels hard. It's sort of like, you know, when you're renovating a building, it's almost a little harder than starting from scratch because there's a bunch of weird little things that never quite fit right. I'm almost wondering if I should just in a way start again, even though there's lots of pieces I already know exist.
Yeah. I wonder if there's something, kind of, and it'll probably take you less time because you are familiar, but if you if you are using post-it notes and it's like, you know, whatever process, you can also just get a blank, you know, piece of paper, but you know, let go of the order that you had before and really like break it down and add in the new ones. And you might even like
color code them. I was already thinking this.
Yeah. I mean, color coding. Yeah. I think it works for some people. I was more thinking like, you know, shuffle them.
Mm.
And, you know, just to really like give yourself
go through the process with each one. Yeah. It's kind of probably what I would do anyway. I already have a whole bunch of like green post-its for all the new mindset pieces that I'm bringing in and things that I've dropped in Sacred Depths. And I could just do my existing ones in a different color. And then I think the new brand stuff. And then I kind of see where the new and existing pieces are.
Well, and I wonder maybe instead of doing it, like, I mean, the mindset is in green already. But maybe the existing pieces, instead of having them one color as existing, separate them out topically.
Yeah, mindset or strategy.
You know, mindset, then maybe another color for strategy and another color for something else, unless you call strategy, to kind of see if there's any distinction there instead of just old and new, because then you're getting out of that binary.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I like that. Okay, I'll play around with that. Thanks for that. I just needed to get out of my head and maybe speak.
Yeah,
that
totally. Over, so appreciate the space. Thank you. April, thanks for waiting.
Yeah, of course. Thank you. Thank you for holding the space, Inbal. I think I also need to get out of my head. And I just want to talk this out loud and see if I can get some clarity just by sharing it. Because I feel like the way my brain works is it goes like an explosion, like it's just very expansive and it thinks like bigger picture. And I'm having trouble sort of really narrowing it down and trying to really understand what I need to focus on. So the different elements that I've been wanting to create all seemed at first like separate projects, and I was going to choose just one of them. But the more I kind of looked and started like focusing on just one of them, it started to feel like maybe they all were parts of each other into a bigger program. So maybe what could be helpful is the different parts is one was going to be like a 2-day experiential art experience, helping people. It's almost like radical self-portraiture. You would see yourself in a goddess image and then be able to see yourself differently from this image. And we would walk you through a ritualistic experience, but then also there was a tactile actual art experience making block prints. So an image would come up something like this. And everyone would create their own block print it, go home with it, be able to put it on their altar and see themselves. It's like actually their own face and image within that power pose. And that was going to be a 2-day thing that I was going to be like, okay, that's something small. I can really focus on that. Mm-hmm. But then that started to feel almost like an activation element for a larger program that could be like a 8-week program on how to integrate goddess wisdom, goddess movement, and bringing more ritual into your life using the archetype of the goddess on a daily basis over the course of like 8 weeks, where you would create community, have support around that, be able to really integrate that into your life. And then at the end, we'd have a retreat experience where it's almost like a celebration with all the people that you were with and in person, so that there was like bookended 2 in-person experiences, but then like an online experience for the longer part. Mm-hmm. I did not expect that to unfold that way. I thought I was going to maybe just focus on one, and maybe I can hear your suggestion, because now I feel like I'm swimming in like pages and pages of like,
yeah. So what, you know, and I don't mean this like as what would you most like to offer?
I knew you were going to ask that, because I keep trying to go back and be from a very centered place on it. I would like to develop the larger part of it, meaning the full program, that it would be this all-inclusive experience. But that feels overwhelming to me. Yeah. I feel like I need to just start on just, maybe I just focus on just really refining this 2-day experience where I lead people through the art experience and seeing where that leads to. I don't know.
I think like, because that was like your, that was the initial thing. Mm-hmm. So maybe like, but really allow yourself, have you done the brain dump for that?
Yeah. It's really a dump.
Well, so I wonder if it makes sense that, so if we zoom out, you know, and I'm not saying like this is what you should be focusing on in curriculum lab. Mm-hmm. The way that I is that to me, like you do, to me, it would take more nurturing and a lot and more inner work to get to this point where I'm doing a block print. So you could also do, you know, the inner work relating to the goddess, practicing, and then have it culminate with the retreat and the block print.
Okay, interesting.
Expression as like, you know, all of this energy is building and then it's expressed. And then you also have like a tangible thing at the end of the program. So I wonder if one of the things that it's like, maybe as a way to kind of, without thinking whether it's this 2-day retreat or two retreats with 8 weeks in between, you think what's necessary on the inner and outer level to get to a place where they're really able to see themselves and create this radical self-portraiture. And that'll help you see what you want to hit on in the 2-day retreat, because this is what you'll culminate. It'll culminate with, and then you'll see, you'll also have the steps for an 8-week thing. Then everything else, you would just go deeper.
So if I'm hearing you correctly, it almost sounds like the 8-week thing is really what I should be focusing on. I mean, meaning that that's what is going to help lead the inner work towards the art experience. Is that what you meant? Or was there an extra element in there I missed?
So it's actually my invitation to you is to take it outside of a format.
Okay.
And just think of, because my sense is that that's limiting you. So you have an idea and then you're like, oh, but could I really do that in the weekend? So if your person is starting out, you know, wherever with their issues, probably an inability to see like how amazing they are, you know, to put it like simply, and then they're ending with this radical portraiture is like that they're, you know, they're connected with and is, you know, really reflects how they actually like want and see themselves and probably how other people in the community have reflected to them who they are. And then you see, okay, like, what do I need to do to get there? And, you know, some of that might be like actual like skills around block printing. Seems like a lot of it would be inner work. And then you can see, you know, what kind of container do I want to fit this into? Because if you do 8 weeks culminating in an in-person retreat, you're going to have more space to get into everything. If you do a 2-day retreat, you might just hit on some points, but not be able to go as deeply. And that's okay. There's no right or wrong, but get clear on your steps first, because that might help illuminate your format.
That does help, because I think you're right. My perfectionist self was getting tied up with that vehicle that we had to decide we were going to ride in. And I there were so many vehicles I could have ridden in. So now just not, don't worry about the format. Get clear first of the inner work stuff.
Right? Well, get and clear then, on the journey, okay. Right? The, where they're starting and where you want them to end with this block print. If that is actually the ultimate end, maybe there's something beyond it. And then you can go and like refine your vehicle.
Okay. Oh, okay. Thank you for refining that. Okay. That I can do. Yes. Thank you. Thank you for
You're
that.
Welcome. Awesome. Jennifer.
I wasn't ready. Hi. So I don't know if it's a question or maybe some clarity. So I facilitate women's circles and I really love that format. And last fall, I wrote a 6-week program. General consensus was this needs to be longer. So I'm thinking like 9 to 12 weeks. And so I don't know if I can share my steps with you and you can give me insight. Is that what we can do here or
no? Yeah, totally. Okay. Yeah, I should say that. You're welcome to share like a Google link in the chat.
Okay. I have them on note cards. So maybe, do you want me to maybe type them in the chat? And then
no,
I
you can do that. Let's see what we can do in a few minutes just so I can get to other folks. And then
yes,
I can also
absolutely. I can go pretty quickly. So for the first week, it was just really like going over commitments and agreements and then intention setting for the journey, kind of like what's her North Star? What is she, you know, what does she want to get out of this 9 weeks for herself? And then within each, I know we're going to get to exercises, like there's always a ritual and there's always group share and some movement and things like that. And then step two, I had uncovering limiting beliefs and becoming aware of imbalances. So I don't know if that could be together or if I should, you know, break that up and have that like a week of each one. So that's where I'm kind of stuck. So week three, I had identifying pain and desire. Week four, I had identifying the root cause of the problem or discovering cause and effect. And that's where I would kind of go back into the childhood learning patterns, right? Because all of that, it seems to be where we learn it from 0 to 7. And then week five, I had acceptance and commitment to heal. So it's kind of like looking at where those past wounds have come from and then really committing to, okay, I'm going to heal these so that I can move forward. Week six was receiving the medicine from those, because I think sometimes people think shadows are bad or those wounds are bad, but there's a lot of medicine and lessons within them. So then I also had for week six, which may need to be a separate week, was moving through resistance to change, because this is where resistance always comes up. It's like once you uncover the wound, it's like, no, I don't want to go there. And then week seven was guiding to a new possibility or getting unstuck and getting into action. Week eight was replacing the limiting beliefs and really like doing some somatic work to move that stuck energy out of the body. And then week nine is like, what's the new action? So kind of like embodiment and integration. So I'm not sure what my question is. I think I just want to hear some feedback.
What do you mean by imbalances in week two?
So I guess imbalances could go to, what did I have that with? Sorry, I had it with like uncovering limiting beliefs. Yeah, so kind of like, you know, that story that we're constantly telling ourselves, like, I'm not good enough, I'm not worthy, I'm not this. So where are those imbalances keeping you stuck? What are those limiting beliefs? So, and I may not even need that, like awareness of the imbalances. It could be just focusing on the limiting beliefs.
Okay. Yeah. I think that word, I can be really literal. So that word kind of threw me off.
Okay.
So, I mean, I think it's great. I think it's a lot for 9 weeks.
Okay.
So maybe I'll just give you some general feedback.
And yes, then I would love that.
That'll help you with, if you have more specific questions.
Okay,
so
perfect.
You definitely want some space for integrating.
Yes.
So, you know, you might even do like, you know, after certain topics, there might be an extra week of integration and maybe you do a 10-minute video or you check in with them on email or something like that. Just from what I know, just from this, I wonder if like after you work on the limiting beliefs, then you are rewriting them closer, or it sounds like
going right after. Yeah.
Because I'm curious about the relationship between limiting belief work and the shadow work. Is the limiting belief work kind of a build up toward the shadow work?
Yeah, it's kind of like your limiting beliefs. Like once you start uncovering them, you're uncovering where they came from, right? So for instance, I had a limiting belief, like I'm too much, people don't like you, you shine too bright. And so I dimmed my light.
Right.
And when I did this work, it came from at 4 years old, I made my brother uncomfortable because he was super shy and I was really outgoing. And so I dimmed my light to make him feel comfortable. And I've done that my whole life. So it's kind of like, what was the limiting belief? I'm too much. I shine too bright. I'm too loud. And then it was like getting to the root of it.
I get all of that. So in a way, I mean, it's like, that's where they're identifying their limiting belief. Mm-hmm. And then maybe they're also identifying, because then you go into week three, which is like their vision of what they'd like to be.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe what new belief, empowering belief, could support that. But maybe actually you go from the limiting beliefs, right? It makes sense actually, like how you had it, limiting beliefs, and then you go to the root cause of where it comes from.
Yeah.
And then after they work on where they come from, then where it comes from, and look at the positive part, the light part of the shadow, and then they can come up with a new belief.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, I like that.
So the limiting belief work is actually like an entry to the shadow. It's like you're taking them deeper.
Yes.
And then they go back up.
Yes. Yeah. So it's kind of like descend and then ascend back up.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. So I would just give more, like, you know, initially just, I would give more space. And then, you know, when you're setting the container in week one, you know, you're going to want to speak to the resistance that's going to come up and write and preframe all of that.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
And that they're there because they have a commitment to heal.
Yeah.
And, you know, you might need to spend also some time in the beginning on like how shadow works.
Yeah, that's a good idea because some people don't understand that. Yeah.
Because that could be really good, like pre-framing, you know, because it's messy and it's these parts that, you know, we've been hiding, you know, we've been taught to be ashamed of. And the whole point is that it's like, it's way beyond what's here. It's something a lot more primal.
Yes. I love that. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. And so then, like, if you put this into a document, then Joanna and I can look at it and help you.
Okay.
Like, and so your next part would be to start to like flesh it out, and then you can see each step, and then you can see if anything needs to shift in the order.
Okay. Thank you. That was helpful. Just wanted to get it out there.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks. Okay.
Rosa, thanks for your patience.
Sure. I'm nervous. So where I'm at right now is that I was originally thinking, as someone had said before, that I was going to take work that I already do and kind of refine it and create like a kind of upgraded version of the curriculum. And the work that I do is teaching people who work with groups either in business or in nonprofits or in a local government context, et cetera. So that kind of group facilitation that's very more task-oriented. A process that helps groups with different perspectives get creative and find ways forward together. And that's work I've taught before a lot. And I am always looking for communicating it in new ways, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The reason that I am now excited about doing something different is because I don't know. It's like, that's like, I love that work, and it's pretty niche. It's pretty specialized to people who are working with groups in that kind of professional context. And I want to continue to do it. And I've also been really longing to have a kind of a broader offer that would be accessible to more people. And so during the first curriculum call, I got really excited about something. And then I don't know if it's that I've slept on it, and so now I'm realizing it's really not so good of an idea, but, or if I've just gotten cold feet, right? And so I kind of wanted to share the second idea with you, because I'm trying to figure out what direction to go in.
Would that be okay? Let me just make sure that I'm tracking, like, mm-hmm. there's, you know, not the standard, but like the program you're familiar with. And so one option is, you know, maybe like switching it or refining it or enlivening it somehow.
Yeah. Upgrading it. Yeah.
And then there was a broader offer that you were excited about, but your thinking about it or relationship to it has shifted.
Well, I don't know if it's resistance, but I'll just imagine that it might be. I'm feeling a ton of resistance to doing the second thing, and I'm starting to get cold feet about it. And yeah, and so I wanted to talk out that.
Okay, super.
So the second offer has to do with people who have a background in some kind of deep listening practice. So it's already not just everybody off the street, right? So it is still a somewhat reduced, but it's still broader than the first one. So people who have some kind of listening practice, whether it's nonviolent communication or focusing or IFS, or they're a coach, who are looking for support in bringing their listening work more out into the world, right? And this could be people who are wanting to move into group facilitation in those kinds of contexts, or it just could be people who are like, you know, when I'm in my NVC practice group, things go great, but when I am talking with my neighbor, it's hard because they don't know NVC. And so how do I have a political conversation with my neighbor who doesn't know NVC? So, and maybe those are two different audiences, I don't know. But it's like, yeah. So that's the one that I was super excited about. And right now I'm like, oh, that's just a stupid idea.
What's the voice like? Is it more specific beyond like stupid? Like what's coming up?
Well, just like, would anybody go for it? Would anybody be interested? What if I design this whole thing and throw a party and then nobody comes? Like that
right,
kind
okay.
of
thing. So what would be most helpful? Because you're right, like that sounds like for me, because you're right that sounds yeah, like, you know, like resistance and fear, right? Because we know underneath resistance, there's fear, right? That you're going to invest this time. And what if no one comes? What if it's not successful?
Right.
And okay.
And so, you know, just giving voice to this has been really helpful, because part of what I'm thinking, it's like, it would be a really good learning opportunity for me to develop the curriculum for this, even if nobody comes at first, right? Like I would still learn a lot by putting it together, and then the figuring out how to market it or how to tweak it or how to whatever is like kind of a different thing.
Totally. And that's exactly what I was going to say, is that, you know, we can get like, it's like, you know, we're in this creative process, and then there's like, I think of it as kind of like this, you know, fun, creative mess, but then it's like, you know, these blocks start to come in. Well, how will you describe it? How, and we begin to externalize before we're ready. when I wonder what it would be like for you to be in the process of developing it and in the excitement of that, because it's like this voice is coming in about sharing it.
Yeah, this is really helpful. Like, I'm just thinking like, you know, that it could be like kind of a miracle question to myself. Like, if I knew that there would be 20 people who would love to take this program, how would I design it? Right. And then I would just play with the design of it and worry about where those 20 people are going to come from later. Because I have all kinds of ideas for the design of it, but I just noticed that kind of prejudging that nobody else is going to be interested just really kind of froze me in my tracks.
Totally, totally. And it's very like, you know, that happens, especially since, like, you know, you've been doing your group work for decades, I believe. Mm-hmm. And so it makes even more sense that you venturing into something new, you know, the ego is going to be like, wait a minute. Like, let's just do what's familiar.
Yeah, no, I don't want to just do what's familiar. I really want to play. I really want to expand. I really want to experiment. And I'm seeing in the chat, Sarah is saying, getting 3 or 5 people. I'm totally happy to do it with 3 or 5 people, right? It's like, I just like don't want the pain and embarrassment of having no one show up. But I actually love, you know, doing work with small groups, and small groups are great. So that would not be a problem.
Right. And also, like, you're not there yet. So I love your idea of, like, you know, because when you're thinking of these 20 people, that's also going to help you to think, who are the ideal people to be in this room? And between NVC focusing and IFS people, that's a pretty big pool. Not that we're there, I'm just reassuring you.
Yeah.
And I think one of the things that stood out to me is that there's two levels that you can bring in. One sounds like it's like shifting from one-on-one individual work to group work. And then the other level is like really bringing in more practical applications. Like, we don't live in a world where, you know, we've all been trained in NVC or focusing or deep listening. So it's like, how do you take something, you know, and a lot of us like end up in these bubbles.
Right. Right. And so
the bridge is, how do you take that out?
Yeah. So one of the things that is that I was super excited about when I was first thinking about this is that, I mean, I have a lot of experience in working with groups, and I really like to create a learning environment where people can learn from each other. So I was thinking, if there's a mix of people with different traditions in the course, like, I can really see that we can all learn from each other, and I can create a mutual learning environment. And that would be really cool. And I guess part of what happened is that I did float this idea by someone who has a background in focusing. And I don't know if she knows NVC, but she does know IFS and whatever. And she was just like, sort of like, oh, like, it just wasn't particularly exciting to her. And I think that just kind of, I don't know, whatever. But I just
totally. And the thing is, it's like, you know, it's only one person, you know that. And also, like, you need to get more clear on it first.
Yeah, so exactly.
It makes sense that, like, it, you know, it didn't land, because, and how you described it to her is not going to be how you describe it to other people.
Oh, this is really awesome. So basically, I just want your permission to work on this thing that I have not done anything exactly like this before, but that I have a lot of ingredients and I have done a lot of different parts of it, and to just cook up something new, and that is fine to do in the curriculum lab, even if I haven't field tested it 20 times yet or whatever. Is that accurate?
100%. Yeah. So you have, like, you know, full permission, you know, because you're the one who said, like, you know, I want this to be fun and to play. And so, yeah, how awesome to have that experience and allow yourself to be there.
Ooh, thank you. I'm complete.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. Thanks for asking. Hi, Gaia.
Hi. I'm so nervous. Oh my God.
About your question?
Oh, it's about this whole thing, the curriculum. Yeah. Okay, so I like the brain dumping thing. Is it called brain dump? Mm-hmm. Yeah, where I'm just kind of letting some stuff out. But the thing that is I keep saying to myself is, I have something that is so powerful to offer. It's like a very specialized thing. But how can that go into curriculum? How can I get people to be attracted to that thing? How, I know it's really important and everyone might think it is important too, but how could that be an offer on its own? Like, you know, because there are parts of it that I'm not so interested in. Like, you know, I don't want to do the therapy part and, you know, and have people explore how to become something else. I just want to create a space, a safe space for people to have their emotions. You know, I work with the emotional body. So I am, and I think it's very specialized. And my vehicle, my format is one-on-one for maybe 5 or 6 sessions, just to get started with that. And my second other vehicle, which I really think I love this, would be very small, intimate groups. And they're both done online, which is a new thing for me, because this kind of depth work is done in person. But I've been, I want to do it online because of the times that we're in. And so it's two things, one-on-one and small group, intimate groups of, let's say, 8 to 10 people. And then with the small groups, I would do like maybe 4 or 5 weeks, 2 classes a week, meeting twice a week. And someone might say, geez, you don't need that much time for emotional release work. I mean, it's more than that. So the thing I want to do is, I was thinking, how do you present this that is very specialized? When you see that offer, you will say, oh my God, that is for me. That's what I want.
Let me jump in. I think there's getting into the curriculum, and then there's getting people to sign up for your program, and you're combining them right now.
Okay. All right. I get that. Yes.
So let me go. The more you get into the curriculum, the clearer it will be for you to figure out how to market it.
Yes. And you know, to be honest with you, I'm not worried about the marketing part. It is the curriculum. But the curriculum would include, how do I even word something that's so specialized that when that right person, when they read it or they hear of it, they say, my God, that's what I want. So it's me putting that together. So I've just been writing some things, and can I read something to you that I wrote? Just to see if,
yeah,
about what it's not exactly the curriculum, but it's about what I'm trying to address emotions and feelings as a thing, not like just going to therapy or getting the deeper work about what happened with your childhood, but literally your emotions and your feelings that you're sitting on as a way of just simply releasing, you know. Do you know what I mean? And that's where it's like, and I can't even have like, this week we're going to do this, next week we're going to do that. It's spontaneous and it's in the moment, but I create and I use. So that's why I want to read this to you, just to see if this, see how this sounds. Okay. All right. Okay. So it says, I come here and join with you at this time to make manifest and to embody and integrate all life's lessons and to see the great teacher in them, especially at this time on our planet. I feel I'm poised to manifest and carry forth the ability for the deeper, darker shades of life to be fully expressed and embraced. These are the darker shades of feelings and emotions that have gone into hiding for hundreds of years. They long for the light of day. They long to be seen and heard and to be accepted and integrated so they too can become part of the whole and to no longer live in exile. I am here to excavate and find these diamonds that live deep in the psyche, deep in the unconscious. I call it the deep, sacred, holy work. By the way, when I saw the course from Joanna, and I had already coined deep, sacred, holy work, so when I saw it, I thought, oh, deep, sacred work. I was really, that's what attracted me. Anyway, I am here to excavate and find these diamonds that live deep in the psyche, deep in the unconscious. I call it the deep, sacred, holy work, using breath, sound, movement, yoga, and many other out-of-the-box modalities. I hope to create these powerful, intimate online groups and also privately. As the saying goes, no mud, no lotus. I hope this group and this, no mud, no lotus. That's where I'm at right now.
Okay, so what's your question?
When you hear that, is that clear to you about what I'm doing? And I haven't filled it all in yet, but that to me is like what I just read, shared is like the core. But does, when you hear it, does it confuse you? Is it clear? Does it make sense?
It's very beautifully written and in a very simplified way. And I'm not saying your work is simple at all. I know that it's really deep, but basically it sounds like you help people excavate deep, deep, deep emotions.
Yes.
So have you gone through the process? Like where are they starting with, like, repressed emotions, with buried emotions, and where are they ending after going through this whole journey with you?
Yes. So they're starting knowing that they're holding a lot of stuff in for a very long time, and they've never found a way to fully trust it and drop into it and feel safe. So that's where they're starting. Even though they function well in the world, they may, might hold high positions in the world, teachers, it could be a person, a cashier, it could be anybody, but they know I have not been able in my life to really feel safe to drop into my deep feelings and my emotions, and I mask them and I pretend.
Okay. And so where now, would you like, okay, so, and you'll get to where I want to give everyone a break. So, and where they end is, I imagine, like, they've been expressed in some way, or like they've connected to this emotion or healed it at some level.
Yes, and it's more than one. It's connected to all kinds of different things, but the space is held for them to each week or each session to fully release, let go deeper, and they're able to have the full range of the emotions. So that's what this space and the container will hold for, you know, each week and, you know, till the end. But as they move towards it, what will happen, and you see, is that there's a lot more freedom in their bodies. Number one, their bodies feel really good. They're really connected deeply and very present in their body, as in a deep somatic way.
Okay, so that's the end point. So have you written down the starting point and the end point? How they're feeling now and how they will feel at the end?
I just wrote it very simply, like in two sentences, but I haven't like gone in there and worked on it some more.
Okay. But, so that might help you then with the brain dump, because I completely understand. It sounds like a big part of what you're doing is holding a really safe and loving space.
Yes.
That might be like a key modality. But you will need some language.
Right.
For what's happening in between the starting point and the end point.
Uh-huh.
So even if you're saying excavate, how are you going to excavate? By doing right. what? Is it by asking them thoughtful questions? Is it by teaching them to do tapping? Is it by, you know, meditation?
Right. So that's where I will list how we're going to do it. But each week is different. I can't say next week it's all about sound. No, for sure.
And right. you have that flexibility when you're working one-on-one with someone. It's not yes. going to be, you don't have to be linear.
Right.
So but, my suggestion is, because I want to do a break for folks, is get out on paper what you have, even if it's bullet points, beginning, end.
Mm-hmm.
And anything you know about the steps in between.
Yes.
Like, what do they need to learn? What do they need to experience? What do they need to feel? What do they need to think to go from where they're starting to the end point? And that'll help you to get more practical about it.
Uh-huh. So I like that word, more practical. Yeah. Yeah. But does it sound like to you, does it
I wanna give people a break.
I know.
Give me one moment, right. please.
Yeah.
All right. So let's you can keep working. My invitation to you is to take a 5-minute break. To move around, to stretch, to roll your shoulders backwards. I need to set a timer so I don't space out. And I'm just gonna tell the group that.
Inbal, can I ask a question? Oh, I can't hear you.
Yes, I'm helping someone in the chat. Let's just go to the end of the break period.
Okay.
And then I'll come back because we're in break and I want to bring people back.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Okay, Brenda, I'm all yours.
Okay. So I'm just starting this whole thing and I've come to all the classes and all the get it done's and I don't feel like I'm getting anywhere. And I think I probably need to go through like a befriend your fear or resistance or something. Because basically I start working and I just start crying. And I don't know what is going on. So I guess I want help with, what do I do? How do I deal with this?
Well, what's coming up, like when you're crying?
Overwhelm, sad and scared.
What are you sad and scared about?
I'm scared about not being able to do it. I'm just sad about everything. I'm really afraid of the time commitment to teach a class because I end up having to be I end up getting interrupted all the time with my mom.
Yeah.
And I don't, and it's really challenging.
Yeah, it's a really, you have such a difficult schedule. And so it, just because of like the caretaking responsibility. So it totally makes sense that like it is overwhelming and frustrating. And I sense that there's also like grief here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, about
mourning all of that.
You know, not being able to really be expressed and share what you'd like to share and resentment and all of the things.
Right.
So I'm curious what, like, and it could be the tiniest thing, what might be possible? Like, a 90-minute class? Is it a 3-hour workshop?
I mean, I was going to go for like a 4-week class, do it for 4 weeks. I thought, okay, I can commit for a month. but I can't do more than that. I already have a one, like, 2-hour class or 90-minute class.
Great.
I want to do something different I want to do something different. And I'd like to do something longer term, but you know what? I can't even, the thought of committing for longer term, people talk about 3, 6, 9 month, year long programs. And I'm like, oh my God, that just seems way too overwhelming to even think about, because I don't even know what's going to be going on in a month, let alone 3 to 6 months or 9 months, as far as what I would be able to do. Or maybe I should try and do a single class. But then you can't really do a journey with a single class. How do you do a journey on a single class?
I mean, it's always a journey, you know, because like even in a class, there's like a starting point and an ending point.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm hearing is like, you want to take people, and this totally makes sense with all of your skills and experience, that you want to take people on a deeper journey.
Yeah.
And on a longer journey.
Yeah.
And that part of the frustration is that your life right now is not set up to do that.
Yeah, kind of.
So, this may be an annoying question, but because we know each other, I'm gonna, you know, with some trepidation, you know, is it true that you can't commit to a 4-week class? Like, are there no options?
Even if it costs you money? But what's true is I don't want to. What's true is it's really hard for me to, I hate scheduling. I have to schedule my whole life all the time. And I hate scheduling things, hate it. I'm a ENFP or INFP and I hate scheduling. I like to leave it open for other things. And then things always come up and get thrown at me at the last minute. There's always some unexpected thing to deal with. I can plan and plan and plan, and it doesn't, it's like irrelevant. God laughs. It's like, doesn't right. matter. So part of it is I don't want to plan it. It's hard for me to schedule it.
What?
It's hard for me to want to do something for every week at the same time.
So is there like, and so even every week at the same time, I mean, it doesn't have to be every week at the same time.
Yeah.
It's easier.
Yeah.
And like less confusion when you're communicating it.
Right.
But that's also like, you can mix it around if you want.
It could be different. Yeah.
I mean, and the other thing is that you could also do like a 2-part.
What do you mean by 2-part?
Like, you know, like there's a month and there's like, you know, a 2-hour thing, you know, 1 week, and then 2 weeks later or 3 weeks later, there's another 2-part thing. And you do stuff in between.
You know, that feels way better to do it every other week.
Well, so here's the thing, like, you can do whatever you want. That's the point.
I know. And I don't even think of these options. Why didn't I think of that?
Because
that's a great suggestion. That just, my whole body relaxed when you said that.
Amazing. Well, I think one of the things that is that, you know, we think that like, and I think we're taught also that there's like one right way to do it. For sure, we're all taught that. But also that it's like, if I'm going to do, like, frankly, for me, something every week can be a lot. You yeah. know? So what you can do in between is that, what you can do in between is like, you send them an email, you check in, or maybe you send them like a 10-minute video. Really depends on what, but it's like, you get to create the container of what works, what you're excited about, and what works for you. and your lifestyle. Like, you know, Joanna will plan like an entire program 10 months in advance. There's no way. I am so not that person. Like, I love being able to tell people, you'll know all the dates in advance, you can plan on them. I do not have that capacity personally. Mm-hmm. Like, I love that she can, but I can't do that.
That is such a relief to hear. That's really, really helpful.
Awesome. Because ultimately it's like, you know, and I think especially like, because you're in a situation where you don't have a ton of choice, that part of like what can make this empowering is that like, you have all the choice in this, what to teach, how to teach it. And you're going to find people that works for, because this is also about the energetics of it. If it works for you and you can commit to it and you have backup for your mom or, you know, whatever, because stuff is always going to happen.
Right.
To all of us.
Absolutely.
But you're going to schedule and think it through and create a container where you're going to mitigate that to the extent possible.
Yeah.
And the thing is that it's like, you know, you're going to find like, you know, I can't even decide right now if I want to do, you know, a 2-day over a weekend thing, you know, but if it were like, you know, one day during the week here and one day during the week, like I might be more compelled. So it's like, you never know, but you get to play, but you lead from what works for you.
Yeah.
So maybe take 5 minutes toward the end, like, you know, in the time that we have here, what would work for your schedule? And you can even think of it like, what kind of class would I want to show up for?
Yeah, one of the things when I think about that, I really, really have enjoyed the Sacred Depths class. And I'm really sad it's ending because that container's been very, there's something about the container that was created that was really helpful.
Yeah.
And I want to continue something like that. So I am doing curriculum lab, but I'm also kind of on overwhelm with number of classes because I'm also doing a marketing class. And it's like, okay, next year I said, I'm not doing any new classes. I'm just going to finish what I've got.
Well, and so maybe next year, part of it will be creating the spaces that you want to be a part of.
Yeah.
The spaces that you need, but you're taking more leadership.
Yeah.
What I've found, and I do want to move, I want to get to Juniper's question.
Okay.
But one thing that I've found is that it's like,
You froze for a second.
Oh.
I want to hear every word you're saying.
Is that because I also get like, you know, overwhelmed, is that, and you know this, I mean, like you work with the body. Mm-hmm. If like the big thing out here feels overwhelming, go to the next thing that your nervous system can handle.
Sometimes, and then do the next thing. I don't know how to find that.
Oh, for sure. It's a practice, but you like break it down, you know, because so often we're like, oh, I'm going to do like this whole thing. And then we get, you know, terrified and frozen.
Yes, absolutely. So, that's exactly what happens.
So the next thing I want you to do is like, really allow yourself to imagine, like, what would I like to do? What's a setup or a format where I would be excited to show up and hold space and teach?
Okay.
And then your next step could be like, okay, what do I want to teach? And I want you to also think, I want you to catch yourself, like, think about what is possible versus what's not possible or all of the things that are going to get in the way. I know that's not just like a one-off, but yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And if you like bring it back, it's okay. Like, what is possible? What do I want to do?
Well, and the other problem is that changes from day to day. Because one day I might have just a ton of energy and everything is possible. And another day I'm so exhausted from life, I just want to stay in bed and do nothing and cover my head under blankets and just go, okay, this is my day.
So I'm so with you. Yeah. So I want to get to Juniper.
Okay.
Yeah. But I can hang for a few minutes at the end if you want to circle back.
Okay. Thank you so much, Jimbal.
You're welcome. Hey, Juniper.
That I just appreciate that. That was really helpful for me to hear.
Oh, I'm so glad
you brought that up, Brenda, because I mean, this is kind of one question, but maybe it's better for the Facebook group. But I'm appreciating the freedom that you give us to structure something that actually works for us and have that energy present. And I have a lot of fear around that because I love mornings. I would love to do like a Thursday morning class. And then I think that everyone I work with is having to go to work on Thursday mornings and won't be able to take that class. And so I would love to hear how other people, how they approach that balance of meeting the needs of who you're working with and what works for you. It does seem like a dance. So I don't know if there's more there, but I probably will share it in the Facebook group. And then did you want to add anything?
Yeah, I mean, I'll just say yes, definitely share it in the Facebook group also for folks who aren't here right now. You know, and it'll be great to see what Joanna says anyway. I think it's really about, you know, it's also about like your ideal client. Like my ideal clients are not entrepreneurs. So they don't have like the flexibility. And so I need to do stuff after work.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, and because ultimately, like, yes, you want to do what works for you. Like I would never facilitate anything at, you know, 8 a.m. or, you know, because I'm pretty far from a morning person. But do you know what I mean? You have to have it, you want it to work for you, but you also want, like, you know, so if your people are like 9 to 5, you don't want to do something at 10 because they're just getting into their day and they might have meetings. So you do need to consider that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, and I'm in the same boat. Most people aren't, half of them probably are entrepreneurs or self-employed in some way, but there's a lot that are going off to jobs. And then, you know, I'm looking at probably an 8 to 12 week course of 90 to 2 hour sessions. And honestly, for me, I feel like committing to 90 minutes to 2 hours after work once a week for 12 weeks seems like a really heavy lift. And then I'm like, well, if I feel that way, then they're sure gonna feel that way too. And so it is, so I've been playing with the idea of doing some pre-recorded lessons and some live ones to give more flexibility and just trying to get creative with that. But I know there's so many possibilities. I would love to keep hearing people's ideas on that.
Yeah, and I think, go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead.
Well, I mean, it's like, I think it, you know, part of it is like the, you know, the transparency around like the commitment and that it's, you know, I would build in some time for integration. And it really depends, you know, is it like, you know, 2 hours of content, you know, sorry if you heard that, I got a delivery, but, and the timer. But it really depends on the content, and it might be better to have, like, you know, 3 weeks of 90 minutes and a week off.
Yeah.
So, like, I think it's, I think it's really important to build in integration time. And I think it's so, you know, normal. We all get super stoked about our content and we want to do all this stuff, but like, then you're not able to go as deeply.
Yeah.
And then people are also, because they're less able to integrate, it's less of a transformation as well. So it might be that, you know, you might need to be more discerning about the content. Once you figure out what might be available to your ideal person, you know, then you can see, okay, well, what would I prioritize? Because we're not going to get the whole journey, you know, even if you did a 12-month.
Right.
In a way.
Yeah. This is helpful. It's really helpful just to be, it's almost like I can step out of myself and create this persona of a client that would commit to things that I wouldn't actually commit to. And so I need to like come back from that, right? And be like, no, this is, people have full lives. What's realistic? Is there time for integration? I just appreciate the reminders and constant boundaries around that. And I think,
you know, it's like, because our, you know, at some level, our clients are a version of us, then you can go back to yourself, you know, even 2 years ago or 5 years ago, be like, what am I up for? And then whatever it is, you can, you know, you can speak to it transparently.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I'm not trying to do, you know, like a seven, you know, a 2 hour class that starts at, you know, 9 p.m. Eastern.
Right.
You want people from both coasts.
Right.
But there isn't going to be a perfect time that works for everyone. So I think that's another thing that we all have to get real about.
Yeah. Yeah. I appreciate it. So the other piece, and I might totally.
Wait, sorry, I need to call folks back, but I will.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You. Sorry.
No, you're fine. All right. So love learning stuff on Zoom. Okay. So I closed that room. So so really for those of you who just taking the next few moments to make a few notes for yourself. What's the next thing that you want to work on in your curriculum? This is the idea of leaving yourself breadcrumbs. What's the next thing that you're doing? Maybe you make a note to yourself, a post-it, or you make a comment in the document, or you highlight the next section. And then the next piece to note is, when's the next time that you're going to commune with your curriculum? What's the next time frame you'd like to commit to? And the next step with that is to get specific, put it in your calendar, get clear on the day and the time. Ask yourself whether that time is realistic. And we do have another Get It Done Day on Friday. It'll be at 1 p.m. Eastern. So 2 hours earlier than today, 10 a.m. Pacific. And I'd love to, I'm not noticing the chat yet, but I'd love for you to share something in the chat that you're celebrating from the time together today. Showing up, being present, actually taking a break, even if it was only for 2 minutes, any progress that you've made, getting yourself out of negative thinking that you were in, anything that you'd like to celebrate about how you showed up for yourself in our time together today. I'm so glad that all of you are here. And thank you again for your help with the technical stuff. And we'll be here on Friday. You'll get a reminder email tomorrow. I will also post about it in the Facebook group. I will read the chat. Yes, I will remind her about that. I happen to see that. And yeah, so we're complete for today. Juniper, I'll wrap up with you. And then Brenda, and then Mary Ann. Mary Ann, do you have something quick? Okay. So we're complete for today. You're totally welcome to stay on, and you're welcome to go. Ask whatever you need in the Facebook group. Awesome. Thank you, everyone. All right, Juniper, let's wrap up with your second question.
Okay. And if I might just totally be getting ahead of myself here. So okay. If you want to pass on it, it's fine. I think in my brain dump, I came up with a good 3 to 5 years worth of content to narrow down. And I do feel like I'm making progress. And there's just one piece that I thought I would throw out for reflection on sooner than later, just to see if, like, how it landed. So I'm taking people on a journey that is a spiritual rewilding journey. So shedding the layers of conditioning that we inherit and have, and doing that by also rewilding with the natural world. So taking that frequency of nature, the wildness of nature, and internalizing that through activities over the weeks to help awaken our own wild spirit. And a big piece that usually brings people to me is that I work with plants a lot. I'm an herbalist, aromatherapist, flower essence practitioner, all the things. And I'm wondering about integrating that actual botanical medicine piece into the course. So maybe there's, like, you know, if we're working with our energetic boundaries, we could meet yarrow as a plant ally. Like, yarrow is a great plant for boundaries, and talk about either plant brushing or a tea or whatever we do with that. Or is, like, trying to bring in that botanical medicine piece on top of the other journey just, like, too much? That's kind of one thing I'm playing with right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think it really depends what, you know, how much space you give it. It might be, like, you know, and whether you're bringing in as kind of like a compliment or a flavor, you know, like, I'm just thinking, you know, if there's, like, ice cream and this is, like, the cherry on top or the fudge or the sprinkles, because that could be really fun. Like, I would love to learn, like, oh, and here's this flower essence I could buy. Or, you know, and really think, like, and I guess you could ask, like, also, does this add or does this distract?
Right. That's a good question for it.
You know, it could help, like, someone, you know, because it's going to be your people and you're talking about, like, the wild and nature. So it could be a tangible way. So yeah. Next week when Joanna gets into the exercises, that could be something, like, that you could bring in as an exercise.
Yeah, that's helpful. And I'm appreciating
to kind of ground it
too, because it does. Yeah, because I need to shift my focus a little bit, because I could teach a whole course on, like, you know, 100%, the herbs, right?
That's the thing.
So can I distill down the essence of how it relates enough to be that cherry on top?
Right.
So would it, and even, then it is the physical activity.
Totally. Totally. Okay. So I would first, in terms of like, you know, maybe focus on, you know, discerning what goes into your 8 to 12 week course, mm-hmm. and then see, because maybe, you know, I mean, I'm sure there's several courses with all your, you know, herbalist, yeah. botanical, like, medicine.
Multiple background. Lifetimes worth of courses right. to teach. It's really hard to make decisions.
Totally.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that. Yeah, that feels like a good approach. I like the, is it distracting or is it helpful? Can it be the cherry on top?
So yeah, I think next week's class or the week after will really help you.
Okay. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. All right. Brenda, I totally spaced. What was your other question?
I totally spaced with you. I don't really remember. I think I just wanted permission and maybe support on creating the class that I want and making it work for me. I think I just need to hear that like 20 million times because I forget.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I hear you. And I think, you know, for a lot of us, it's, we have, you know, ideas of what something should look like, you know, or what's like the right thing. And, you know, for you, thinking about what's possible, that doesn't mean that you can do whatever you want. You know, we all have like limitations, you know, but it's, you know, is there like even an easier time where you could have a backup person in case that's needed?
Right.
You know, like, for example, I'm not willing to do weekends, and I've never really budged on that. I don't know why. I think it's my, you know, my lack of like, you know, I'll go to weekend retreats and, you know, but it's, I'm not like trying to have like a 2-hour class on a weekend. I don't want that for myself. So that's just like something that I'm aware of.
Yeah. What are your non-negotiables?
That might change. Yeah. And maybe it's all, you know, maybe that's my stories around, you know, something stuck in the middle of a Saturday afternoon or, you know, whatever it is. But like, I think it's, you know, part of like the healing and the empowerment, you know, on like a more like meta level is, you know, that we get to choose like what we want and what's possible, what feels possible for us rather than like some external thing of what it should look like.
Right.
And getting to practice that freedom when and where we can.
Yes. I get caught up in the shoulds and I don't even know I'm there. What happens is I don't even realize that I'm in a should. It never occurred to me, oh, I don't have to have a class every week. I thought, okay, a 4-week class, I think I could commit to that. And then right. when you said, well, you could do a 2-hour class every 2 weeks. And I'm like, oh, and that just felt so good. And it didn't even enter my mind that I could do that.
Yeah.
And of course I can do anything. It's my class.
Totally. Totally.
I just don't even realize what I don't know. I don't realize what's possible because, oh, I thought it has to be every week at the same time.
Right.
So.
Yep.
And, I need a way to keep reminding myself, is there something else? I don't even know what question to ask. Can you think of a question that would help me remember that? To ask myself?
What do I want?
Okay. What do I want? Yeah.
And you know, it could be like, what do I want to create? You know, or like, who do I want to show up as, you know, maybe like, but like, what do I want this course to look like? But really the focus is like on I and want.
Yeah. And that is just, I know from my family history, my grandmother never thought about what she wanted. She hid in the closet for hours to avoid conflict with this other family relative. And it's like, she would never, you know, do a conflict, would never say what she wanted. It's like a really strong DNA thing of not knowing what I want and not asking for what I want. And I'm breaking it. It's getting better. But it's when I freeze, the unconscious does not go there.
Totally. Totally. No. And it's a major, major shift.
Yes. Yeah. And I'm making it and it's getting better. It's just not, it's not automatic at all.
No. And I think, you know, and I think that's another misconception that like,
probably never will be.
Right. You know, that it will, you know, be automatic. And I don't think it's like, you know, for it never to come up, but it's like how you relate to it once it does come up.
Right.
And but you know,
First I have to notice that it came up.
Totally.
And half the time I don't notice that it came up. So, yeah. But anyway, thank you. This is helpful.
I'm glad. And when you get stuck, you can ask us in the Facebook group, at the Q&A, at the end of Monday's class. Right? Because part of getting what you want is, you know, asking for what you need. There's so many layers here.
Right.
So I'm super glad that you shared today and showed up with your overwhelm and frustration.
Yeah. Yeah. And I haven't really said anything because I'm like, God, I don't even know where to start. All these people are so much further along than I am. How am I gonna, what do I even say?
Yes, I hear you, and you have no idea where people are, and everyone has their own process, and it could be that you were stalled until now, and then things will flow, and people who flowed in the beginning will get stuck later.
Right.
I hear you.
So thank you so much, Imbal. I really
You're appreciate
your time and support.
You're welcome. Tons of love. And I'll see you all on Friday. If it works for you. Yay.
Thank
all right. You so thank much. You.